Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Wendy Ellis, CEO of the United Way of Waco, McLennan County. Nan Holmes leads the conversation, which was recorded October 4th, 2021, in the KWBU studio.
Wendy, I am so glad you're finally able to be here to discuss leadership and your new adventure with the United Way.
Thank you, Nan. I'm excited to be here today, too.
But before we talk about the United Way, I want to know more about your early days. Where did you grow up, school, previous jobs? Fill us all in.
So I guess the easiest way to say that is I'm the daughter of two educators. And so with each new degree meant a new job and a new school for me. But I graduated from high school in Holland in the Temple Belt and Killeen area. Mm-hmm. My parents grew up in West and Itasca and always have had family in McLennan and Hill County. So that's kind of what made us decide that we wanted to get back home, back to the area. All my parents have retired here and brother and sister in the area. So that's what brought us back. And so this has always kind of been home.
Well, that's interesting. Where have you worked before? Tell me some of your jobs.
So I started out, I've worked with the Texas Department of Agriculture. I've worked with Chamber of Commerce's, worked with several different Chamber of Commerce's, mm-hmm. Have worked as an economic development director, worked in city management, city government,
wow.
And then moved over to the nonprofit world.
Well, who were, when you look back on till today, who was the person or persons who heavily influenced your leadership style?
I think it's a culmination of a lot of people, right? Because when you experience good leaders, you recognize that and appreciate it. When you experience those that may not be as strong as a leader, you also know that that's not what you want to do or how you want to do mm-hmm. things. And so they all kind of play in and influence that in one way or another. I think I was really fortunate when I was in college, I did an internship with Ag Workers Mutual Auto Insurance Company. They're based out of the Fort Worth area. They're a mutual, so they're, you know, owned by the policyholders. And I got to do an internship with the president of that company. And they had a really great program where the interns got to work in every division in the company and learn kind of all sides of the business. And they made sure we really got to get out and experience a lot of community events and political events and business events. And I learned a tremendous amount. It was a really beneficial time. And one of the things that he told me about leadership that has always really stuck with me is he said, always hire people that are smarter than you because they'll make you look really good.
I agree with that statement.
So I think that that's always really, and that's part of the things that I'm so excited about with United Way is the team that I get to work with there is just phenomenal.
Yes, you do have a good team. I know your financial director. I've known her since I moved to Waco almost.
Yeah.
Karen.
Karen, yes. She's each of our senior leaders in the organization is just really a content area expert. They're very passionate about their work. They're very good at their work. And so to come in and be able to work with a team like that, that has that many strengths, I think from the leadership perspective, it's just my job to kind of facilitate, make sure they have the resources available that they need to be able to do their job and make sure that we're all communicating and working together to maximize the use of those resources.
Oh, well said. Well, during the course of Barbara, Moscaccio, mm-hmm. Tenure with the United Way of, it's a long, long, I'll just say United Way.
There you go.
I interviewed her twice, and I really appreciated her hard work and accomplishments. I think she introduced clear impact. Did that
collective impact?
Oh, is it
collective impact model? And I think maybe clear impact is the database, or kind of gathers some of the data. But the collective impact model is what we use for the work that we're doing at United
Way. So you're still carrying that on?
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about that.
So collective impact is the idea that we're stronger together and that everyone plays a role in what we're doing. And so as we work with the different nonprofits that are serving different segments in the community, what we have done is incorporate people with lived experience, those that maybe have used the services of different nonprofits or have recognized some of the challenges that we're trying to help eliminate, and we bring those people into the decision-making process as well. So it's people with lived experience all the way to the people who are leading the systems that serve our most vulnerable populations, and together they make their decisions. And so they look at who's our grant funding every year, and they, as a community, they make those decisions and recommendations to our board of directors about how our dollars are spent to have the most impact in our community and to work with the programs that our citizens are telling us are the most needed.
Well, that sounds great to have the input from the ground up.
Absolutely.
Because that the people who are living the experiences and need the assistance are left out of the equation sometimes.
Sometimes that can be the case, and it can be really well-intentioned actions don't necessarily have the end result that we think they will. And so by incorporating everybody in the conversation from the beginning, we get to better answers and we get to something that everyone in the community has ownership in, so therefore supports and continues to help move forward.
I think that's great. And what are your challenges right now that you are, would you say, be able to give two or three real challenges that you've inherited or have developed since you've joined?
Sure. I think just the times that we're living in right now and the challenges that everyone is facing with COVID and the uncertainty that brings to our day-to-day lives, because we think we know the rules one day and then all of a sudden something will change. And so the challenge for us is that it limits our ability to be out in the community and be face-to-face, and it's hard to come in a leadership role and not be able to get out and meet people like you would want to and engage the way you would want to. And so that's a challenge. But I think that it also has pushed us out of our comfort zone and helped us find new ways to do things. And so there will be some things from that will be benefits, right, in the long run. But figuring all of that out and kind of working through it as we go and just having to remain really flexible and adjust as we go. And, of course, the need for the things that we support right now is really strong, right? So many people have been negatively impacted by the pandemic, either financially or in their health or with housing stability or with jobs or whatever the case may be. And so a lot of the nonprofits that we support through the efforts of where we raise money for them at the United Way, they're serving a larger clientele right now. And they're doing it with fewer resources in many cases. Our 2020 United Way campaign was down significantly as far as the total dollars raised, but we were able to still meet all of our obligations that we had out with the grant funding and everything that we had out. We were able to fulfill those and help our nonprofits as much as we possibly could. And there was a lot of money raised through the COVID-19 community relief efforts. And United Way was honored to work with the Waco Foundation and other funders in the community as kind of the administrative arm to help move those dollars out in the community as quickly as possible. And 100% of the funds that was raised through that went directly into the hands of people in our community that needed it. United Way didn't have any administrative fees for our processes, and as those monies were pushed out to the nonprofits, was with the understanding that they wouldn't be taking any administrative fees out of it either. They would put it directly into the hands of the clients that they were working with. So 100% of those proceeds we were able to get out into the community very quickly, and that's something that we're really proud of. But you know, pivoting and adjusting what you're doing to meet the needs, that's one of the beautiful things about United Way, because it can be what the community wants and needs it to be, but that also means that we have to be able to make those adjustments when they're needed, especially in a time of crisis like what we saw in 2020.
That was a rough year.
It was.
And you came in April of 2021.
I did.
So you experienced the backlash of 2020.
It's kind of the, it's like you've run a marathon and you watch those marathon runners, and when they get to the finish line, they're exhausted. They've given everything they have to give. And I think that's kind of where United Way was after 2020. They pushed really hard, put everything out there that they possibly could. And now we're catching our breath and kind of regrouping and figuring out where the next big steps will be, what the next big needs for the community will be. And as we do that, and as we're in that process, then we're seeing another surge of COVID-19. We're seeing our hospitals and our healthcare workers being so dramatically impacted because they're still fighting the same battle, but there's fewer resources available now for some of that. And so that fatigue and those challenges, because this has been such a marathon, I think are still playing into the day-to-day decision making.
Yeah, they're still running.
Yes, they are still running, especially our healthcare workers. So
yes, that's true. And I want to ask you about this. May be part of the. Did you do research on the child well-being? Is it child well-being research? Is that part of? Have you finished that project or?
So we finished phase 3 of the project, which we are now moving into and working in phase 4. So phase 3 of our child well-being work was kind of a child well-being study to give us our baseline of what is the quality of life for our children ages 0 to 5 in McLennan County. And, and what is it that parents and family members need to improve the quality of life for those children. So we call it child well-being, but really that's kind of a misnomer in a way because it's more focused on family well-being, taking a two-generation approach to how can we help, how can we help mom and dad or grandparents or whoever the children are living with, how can we help them with either career development or financial stability or social resources, whatever it is that they may need to improve their quality of life, which in turn improves the quality of life for the children and puts them in a situation to learn better and be more prepared when they're entering school. And so it's a two-generation approach to that. And what we've done is we've got our baseline. The study has said these are the challenges, these are the themes in the community, these are the areas that people are asking for help in. And now we're working on putting together the strategic plan for how can we positively impact those areas and help improve the quality of life across the board.
And so you are doing the research, and then that helps decide where you will fund?
It won't decide where we fund, but it will impact it in the sense that we will be looking at it in a holistic approach, right? Mm-hmm. Many of the organizations that we already work with are funded, are already looking at that type of work, already doing that type of work. And so what this research will do is as we move forward with it, I hope that it'll give our funded agencies and our partners, our designated agencies, information to work with so that they know how to improve and enhance their programs to really meet the needs of the clients and provide the services that are being asked for. So our hope is that it helps to shape the work that's being done where we're all working together and collaboratively, even more so than we are now. But we will always still be looking at our pillars of health and education, financial stability, and safety net services. Those won't change. And many of our organizations, all of our organizations that are designated for funding have programming in those areas already.
I think that's a wonderful place to focus. I really do. I read somewhere that, and you kind of referred to this earlier, I read that you would be on a 90-day listening tour. Were you, since you started in April 2021, you may have finished it by now, or has it been interrupted?
I think it's been interrupted. I think we have done some. We still have more to do. The 90-day listening tour is something that we want to be doing as we move into our strategic planning session. And because of the immediate needs and the immediate issues that we're working with right now, the phase 2 of strategic planning for our organization overall has kind of been pushed into early 2022, because what we're wanting to do is put together that child well-being strategic plan first and see what initiatives need to be tackled there and how that have that information to be able to incorporate it into our United Way strategic plan. So I think, you know, I'm always listening. I think that's something that we can't ever stop, right?
Yeah.
Because as things evolve and change, we just have to keep our finger kind of on the pulse of what's going on. So we have been able to do some of that, but it has been interrupted by the surge in COVID again and some of the changes that that has prompted in priorities. Mm-hmm. But we will continue that process moving forward.
I just think that it never ends. If you're going to be listening, don't say, you know, it's just
right.
Constant change happens. Leading the United Way, you've been there a few months, you know, it's still getting your feet wet, but you must have some vision for the future. Can you share some of that with me?
So I think I always struggle with this question a little bit because I think my role and the role of the United Way is that we take the vision that the community has for us and we try to accomplish that the best we can. So, you know, for a personal vision and a lot of my personal vision for the organization ties into the operation, right? And the financial foundation and how we build on where we are and find ways to create more resources for more work to be done and that type of thing. But as far as identifying specific projects or saying we will accomplish this or we will do that, I'm definitely not there at this point because that comes from the community voice for us and listening, pulling that together. We're gathering that information through the strategic planning that we're doing with child well-being, and then we'll build on that in the spring of 22 when we go to our phase two of strategic planning for our organization.
So that's the date for that, yeah.
So that type of vision, I mean, you know, we just want to be able to bring as many resources to the table as we can to work on the biggest challenges that our community identifies and make sure that we are playing a role in improving the situation for as many people as we possibly can.
I think that is a big vision.
It's a big
you
vision.
You have identified and been realistic about what, you know, that it just doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
You can have that vision to do what you need to do. That's my vision. But it takes a long time.
It does. And there are things that I see shaping up in the next few months that will be great projects that we'll be able to come back and say, hey, you know, we've got this accomplished, or we have this moving, or this is getting checked off the list. But I have to try to really remain focused on the fact that it is the community vision, right? Because it is easy for somebody as a leader to walk in and look at it and kind of assess and be like, okay, this is where we need to go and this is what we need to do. So personally, I'm having to, you know, take a step back from that instinct and make sure that we always keep that community voice at the center of what we're doing and that everyone is getting to weigh in on kind of how we move forward and what our priorities will be.
Well, I think that is really a wonderful way to, that is a vision. You've got a vision and it, at least you're able to make it fluctuate. You know, you're not, it's, as you said, not set, but you are using your vision, the vision of your staff, of your board, of people on all kinds of advisory council.
I think our vision is flexibility right now, right? I think that's
a
where,
good thing.
And it is our goal to be responsive to what the community asks us to be. And so what the community needed us to be 2 or 3 years ago versus what the community needs us to be now is going to be very different based on what we've gone through. And so we try to be mindful of that and keep that at the forefront and make sure that we're doing an adequate assessment on a regular basis of where we are, what direction we're headed, and does it align with the goals and objectives and the things that the community has asked us to provide.
Well, that's good. Let's talk about the annual campaign. Are you still in campaign or?
We are. We are in campaign. Our campaign season really kind of kicks off September through December. We have campaigns that run at different times. Each corporate campaign, you know, has a different timeline, whatever fits with their corporate calendar the best. But September through December are the prime months. We really kick off in August, and we run through January with some of our organizations. Mm-hmm. But campaign is, this is our time, this is our season, and every year that's what we're focused on at this time. And we're just really grateful. You know, I mentioned earlier that the 2020 campaign was down some, but what I'm really proud about and what I see as a strength and hope in moving forward with the organization is that we didn't lose one workplace campaign in 2020. All of our businesses still stepped up and gave where they could and what they could. And so we're really proud of that. The network didn't shrink, right? It continues to grow. And when you can sustain through challenges like that and continue to move forward with that, then we know that our business community is really committed to what they're doing with United Way, and we're ever so grateful for that. But we're always looking for more members to join the team and more businesses to get involved, and individuals. We have individual donors that donate to United Way as well. But what really makes United Way different is our workplace campaign. It's the heart and soul of how we raise money, and as a funder for other nonprofits in the community, we have to go out and raise that money every year. We don't have an endowment that we are able mm-hmm. to just utilize. We raise money every year, and our campaigns at our workplaces allow employees to do a payroll deduction. And so what I love about United Way is it gives everyone, regardless of your resources, gives everyone the opportunity to be a philanthropist, right? Because you can give where you're able, and it brings in people to the philanthropy community that wouldn't have another way to really be able to contribute. And so that's what's really unique and special about United Way and how we raise our resources and bring those to bear for the community. We've been working in the McLennan County area for 98 years, nearly 100 years. And in that time, we've raised over $100 million through our workplace campaigns, money that goes back out into the community through the nonprofits that we work with. And so we're really proud of that. We're proud that we're coming up on our 100-year anniversary. We're looking forward to a big celebration, and we're looking forward to kind of a comeback year with our campaign this year.
Oh, that's wonderful. If there's one thing we're familiar with here at KWBU, it's campaigns. Campaigns a couple of times a year and always, you know, having to solicit, because it is one member at a time until, you know, that's just one person, but then one person and one and one and one. Individuals can make a difference.
They absolutely do. It all adds up. And we've been saying this year, donations from $5 to $25,000. I mean, we have a huge range of donations that people provide, and it's the cumulative collective impact of everyone working together that really makes it possible for us to go out and support those nonprofit organizations each year. We currently have 43 different nonprofits that are eligible to receive funding through United Way, either through designations or through applying for our grant program. So that's a lot of different outlets, right, for support in the community, and a lot of different needs. And so we're proud of that network. We're proud to be able to support those organizations and have that interaction. But it also takes a lot of resources to do that.
So when your campaign ends, say in January, do you have some kind of celebration or or do y'all just like take a day off to rest?
Yeah. So It's a little different this year, right? Because our schedule of what we normally do and how we communicate with the community has all been changed with the COVID restrictions that have been in place. We normally have what we call a community breakfast in the fall, where we share kind of an annual report and an update and information on where we're going and what we're doing. And we celebrate our nonprofits that we work with and our volunteers and our donors. And we're not doing that this fall. And what we are looking at is hopefully being able to do that maybe in February. and after at the conclusion of the campaign. So it will kind of be a post-campaign celebration, but it just the way it happened to kind of fall this year. But it, we also did that because we'll have the information that we need to be able to share with everybody.
That's great. And so when will that be?
We haven't picked a specific date yet. We're looking in February, but we're, again, being flexible.
Let's hope for no winter storm.
That's right. And trying to pivot as we need to. So that's where we're looking at having our annual report ready and being able to share with everybody.
You know what you just said, pivot when we need to. I think that is a successful organizations, their leadership, if they will pivot when they need to. It's very hard, but it's very necessary.
Absolutely.
Because you can't just keep doing, you know, what you're doing if it's not working. You have to
tweak it. And when situations change, responding to that need, especially for us, is really crucial. We did some work with Winter Storm Uri as well, and how we're able to secure a grant from one of our local nonprofits who had some flooding damage as a result of the winter storm. And so we were able to help put some resources to getting that repaired and, you know, working with the community during those times as well, too. So that's one of the things I love about United Way, again, is I think I said it earlier, but we have the ability to be what the community needs us to be. And so we work really hard at listening and trying to ascertain what that is and making sure that we are responding appropriately.
Oh, Wendy, I'm so delighted to have spent this time with you and hope you will be able to return for a follow-up. I think we want to talk more about how things are going. But I'm just sitting here talking with you, I'm very excited for the future of the United Way. And I think that many people out there just will be reminded what an important resource this is for our community. It really impacts so many organizations and individuals that we need a strong United Way.
I think it is really important. And one of the things I've found since I've started working with United Way is that people don't realize the local impact. Because United Way is a worldwide brand, they don't realize that local giving is local impact and that mm-hmm. all of the dollars given here stay in the McLennan County area and surrounding counties to work for our neighbors and our friends. And that's a really important message for us, too. We want people to know when they're giving to United Way, Waco, McLennan County, those dollars stay local for a local impact. And it's a unique model. The way the United Way's model is set up is pretty unique compared to other kind of worldwide or national organizations. But we do have a local board that controls all of the decision-making on a local level.
Well, I tell you, sometimes after talking, just listening to you, I think it sometimes it's just wearing out the shoe leather to reach your goals. It's just putting one foot in front of the other, looking around what needs to be done today. And I think that y'all are headed in the right direction.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I think that's a really good analogy. And right now, I think for everybody, right, one foot in front of the other until we can kind of get to the other side and know where we are.
Well, I'm convinced after we're visiting today that the United Way is in good hands with you, and thank you so much for this time together.
Thank you.
This conversation was recorded October 4th, 2021, in the KWBU studio. This and past episodes of the Central Texas Leadership Series can be found on our website at kwbu.org. Look in the Programs tab.